gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Today, my co-host is Dave Allen, and yes, we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what an exciting day it is. You know, it's really, it's so conflicting. You know, when gold has a really good day, we're all excited, you know, because we've just been waiting for our moment in time. But yet there's a lot of people out there who really are going to be hurting with their pensions and retirements. But you know what? You know, they should be paying attention. They should be doing what our listeners and all our clients are doing, and that's preparing for what we think is coming down the road. So we have tons of things to talk about today. We have Wendy Wilson joining us first in the first segment. But, you know, just to recap on some of the things, Dave, we had crude oil that tumbled 4% on weak global demand. You've got rising crude price stockpiles, China report. And we're going to talk about these topics in the second and third segment of the program today, ladies and gentlemen. China, they reported weak data for July, 7.6%. for their growth. In June, it was 9.8. You have the UK is teetering on recession and their currency is plunging. Germany, the Eurozone's biggest economic powerhouse, their GDP shrank between April and June. And again, these are the same things that we have talked to you day in, day out. Big headlines, Dave. Inverted yields. Hello. How long have we been talking about that? Now you'd think if you read the financial programs and their articles, this was something brand new that, you know, it just amazes me. Argentina this week, their stock market has crashed 40%. Macy's came out today. They're tanking. Now, I don't know who'd own Macy's shares anyway, but I mean, you know, but the fact of the matter is bank shares tanked today. So, is this the biggie, ladies and gentlemen? Could be. With the down 800 points, just might be. Gold today was up $1,280. We had a much higher day. It was higher by $10, $22, $23. $1,524 was the high. Currently, asking price is $1,514. The New York spot price aftermarket. You have silver, and I'll take a look at what gold price is for December's contract. It's always much higher. Silver was up 25 cents today at $17.27. Platinum and palladium didn't do so good, and they're not going to. They're going to be getting these knee-jerk reactions, particularly platinum when you have the global economies that are just tanking. Platinum was down $10 at $847. Palladium was down 25 at $1,437. USDX today, and that was stronger by 0.17 at 98. It's back up over 98.01. And gold did what it did. Incredible day for gold, ladies and gentlemen. Crude oil was down. That doesn't even make 1.96 at 55.14. Let me get to my regular prices here. I got a couple of screens that I look at, but I have a favorite. The Dow down 3%, and it is 800. Down 800 points. Now, this is significant, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't your normal $200 and $300 day. This is significant. 25,479. The NASDAQ down 3%. 7,773 down 242 points. The S&P was also down just shy of 3%. Those are huge percentages, 2,840. 10-year yield, 1.58%. Wasn't that long ago I says, yeah, we're going to see 1.50. And we're even going to see what we saw back in 2008's Great Recession, when it touched on 1.27 or something like that. And what do you think that's going to happen to gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen? Gold contracts, they should still be in December's. Come on, bring it up here. December contract, 1525. 1525 for December contract. Let's see if there's anything else important before we get to Wendy Wilson. And I'm taking a little bit longer than usual today, Wendy, but I think this is important to let listeners know what we'll be talking about when we come back from the break. And I think that's pretty much Japan. Hong Kong is still holding its own. It's amazing. I don't know what the disconnect is with what is happening over there in their stock market. Maybe it's almost something like what we're seeing in Venezuela. I don't know. Their stock markets are rising when people can't feed themselves and are eating the animals in the streets. So, you know, go figure. But, of course, that's hyperinflation for you. Germany was down just a little over 2%. So, fear and greed index, we're still looking at 21. But no panic in these markets at all. Absolutely no panic at all. We'll see if this 800-point drop creates some of that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought, well, with all these drops going on that you just mentioned, there's been a drop in drug supply, so I thought we'd talk about that. Just this past March 2019, the University of Chicago Medical Center issued some alerts regarding results of a national survey on the availability of prescription meds. So the health authorities are really trying to improve the supply line of drugs, including the generic versions. So the problem is that many of these shortages have left hospital doctors' offices kind of blindsided because there wasn't any advance notice from the drug manufacturers. So reports of hospital pharmacies were rationing or even hoarding some of the medications resulted. So a lot of pharmacy managers are reporting they have never seen anything like this. And in some cases, there's no substitute medicine, leaving doctors with no drug therapy options. So I don't know, are you hearing about this in the news, Melanie?
Not too much.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, on the low key under the radar, because according to the team at the University of Chicago Medical Center, their goal was to determine how often these shortages are occurring and which hospitals are the hardest hit by the shortfall. According to the report and the national survey, they said the U.S. has 6,210 hospitals, of which 948 are academic hospitals. So the report stated 81% of our U.S. hospitals were experiencing drug hoarding and shortages, and this is suggesting that hospitals that did have some medications on hand wouldn't release the prescription medicines to some admitted patients, especially if they felt it was a case of overprescribing. Also, all U.S. hospital pharmacy managers reported drug shortages in the last 12 months. Over two-thirds of the U.S. hospitals reported over 50 drug shortages, and one out of every three hospital pharmacies had no valid administrative mechanism in place to deal with a drug shortage. So they're saying over 80% of our hospitals admitted that they were hoarding medicines as a response to the shortages, and also the report found that the hoarding was worse at the academic hospitals compared to the community hospitals. So according to this March 2019 report that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, but there's some questions. You know, what are the rules with the drug rationing, and who decides who gets medicines and who doesn't? Well, according to the JAMA article, they said they had a team of ethic specialists on board. They were involved into looking into how hospitals are planning to manage drug scarcity. So the members of the American Society of Health System Pharmacists, they all got a questionnaire. They were asked about allocations during drug shortages and how they managed it. And out of 1,100 questionnaires that went out, only 65% of them, or 719, responded. And the ones that did respond, they confirmed that there was drug shortages in the previous year, and it seems the cancer and the cardio drugs were the hardest hit. So also the report noted that, hey, during these times of drug rationing, that information is not disclosed to patients, so they're not informed that's what's going on. Let me read you this quote by Andrew Hantle. He's a medical doctor he's the ethics fellow at the University of Chicago Medicine. He says, drug shortages are distressingly common. The American Society for Hospital Pharmacists has a running list of 226 drugs that are in short supply. drug companies state they can't guarantee supply continually, but there are no other suppliers and there may be no backup optional drug. In severe cases, shortages required clinicians to decide which patients would receive medicine and which would not. So that answers the question that the hospital staff is deciding there. So, but when you have this shortage problem, Melanie and Dave, you got a ripple effect. So this is what happens when you have a drug shortage. And if you want to find out which drugs are on that list, you can go to drugs.com and you can click on their list there. Now, so if there's a lack of drug therapy, it's going to disrupt all the other treatments that patients are lined up for. So drugs can delay procedures like surgery and other treatment protocols. It also increases the rate of medication errors, as well as impacts the patient outcome and also increases the cost. And we're all about hearing how the government wants to decrease costs. This isn't helping. And so when you look at the generic drugs, that's real important. That kind of gives you a snapshot. Now, according to the FDA, the generic drugs are usually the hardest hit during the shortages. And the reason given is they say it's manufacturing issues. Well, the FDA doesn't really elaborate as to why more generic drug brands are affected. And here's the reason. When drugs come off the patent status, they're usually picked up and they're made by small overseas drug companies. These manufacturers are not regulated by the United States. The facilities may not be up to U.S. standards, and the equipment can break down, and there often can be a disruption in ingredient supplies. So drug manufacturers are supposed to offer a 6-month notice, or at the very minimum, a 30-day notice to U.S. authorities if there's going to be a shortage, and that is not happening. And here's what really kind of got me all scared. is according to the research firm pharma.org, they said when there's drug shortages, the FDA makes compromises on expiration dates. Is that something you want to hear, Melanie? I don't think
No, not really, but I'm not one where I'm
a
believer in expiration dates anyway, but...
Well, shortages in the drug supply can result in, they say, the manufacturers having some inventory that's close to expiration or past expiration. Okay, so here is what pharma research says. The FDA can work with a manufacturer to review and approve an extended expiration date when the manufacturer has data to support potential extension of their expiration dates for their inventory. But the problem with this is, and you don't know this, maybe you don't know this, when they're going to do an extension of the expiration date, see, prescription medicines, they start to break down after the expiration date, and they're more toxic than before the date. So it's not like a gallon of milk in your fridge that goes past a few days or a week and you can still drink it. You know, it's not like that. So they start to break down after the expiration date, and they become more chemically toxic to you. And, of course, this is a big problem. It's been a repeated occurrence. The drug scarcity has Congress all concerned, and they've attempted through legislation to try to fix the problem. Now, the FDA does provide Congress with annual reports and, you know, what action they're taking to prevent this from happening. But so far, most of the authorities, all they've done is try to improve on the early detection systems when there is a shortage occurring. But this doesn't offer any advance warning. It really doesn't do anything to fill the gaps when there's no substitute medicines. So apparently drug shortages is, well, it's been an ongoing problem. Do you know how long this has been going on, Melanie? Take a guess.
Probably a very long time.
Yeah, it's been going on since 2001.
What was the deciding date of 2001? I mean, are there just that many more people ill? Or, I mean, why wouldn't they have had shortages in the 90s or in the 80s?
Well, I'll read you this quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. This is what they said, November 2011. Oh. The U.S. is experiencing a rapid increasing frequency of drug shortages, which have caused numerous difficulties for clinicians, healthcare facilities, patients, and federal regulators. So the shortages, they say, is due to many factors, including lack of raw materials, manufacturing problems, regulation issues, business decisions, etc. We need more clear policies and procedures and collaboration with timely communication to effectively handle drug shortages. Now, notice when they listed that, you know, who it was more difficult for, patients were near the end, just before federal regulators, you know. That's difficult for a patient when they can't have treatment, see.
Well, I wonder if it also, I think what you're saying too, well, I'm not sure if you included it or not, but you mentioned earlier about, because a lot of our pharma is outside of the country.
Right.
Maybe that was more of a defining factor, because maybe at that point in time, we all of a sudden we've seen, you know, a lot of the companies move offshore. I mean, that's...
Well, that and...
I mean, look at Puerto Rico. I mean, they had a huge pharma manufacturing.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know if that's up and working yet.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. That really hit a lot of drugs, heart drugs, antibiotics, autoimmune drugs, all kinds of things. It was really bad there. And by the way, for the listeners that are subscribing to the newsletter, The American Survival, there's going to be some charts that were put together by the University of Utah on the drug information and supply problem, where you can see all the way from 2001 to current day. But here's an important thing to remember. What is the primary reason we have a shortage? Well, the University of Utah dug into that. It wasn't just, you know, raw material problems, equipment breaking down. They said 55% of the reason why we have a drug shortage is unknown. They couldn't get an answer for it. Okay? So this is not good when people have any kind of drug dependency for metabolic support functions. There's a high chance that, you know, you may run into a problem down the road where your drug supply is not dependable. It's not available. And people have got to start to think of what they're going to do about that. See, I mean, since 2001 to fix this problem and they haven't, think about this for a minute. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
You know, it's just another part of, you know, what we see in all the businesses and all the industries, and it's just a decay. It's just like, yeah, they're just going to pump out what they can, make the most money, and people will just sit there and shrug their shoulders, accept what's given to them, and hey, as long as it's not affecting them, as long as it's not their child or their wife, their spouse, that's in need of a shortage of, it doesn't seem to matter to anyone anymore, Wendy.
Well, it's going to matter to everybody someday, you know, because
someday
it comes around, and now's the time to learn how to strengthen the metabolic system so you don't need the heart drugs and so forth. Oh, we're having a herbal detective sale, so they can visit thepowerherbs.com or give us a call at 866-229-3663. As always, a delight. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. We appreciate it so much. She'll be back next Wednesday, so make sure you tune in then if you want to listen to Wendy Wilson. But we'll be back in just a few minutes, so please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, with all this information going out, we'll be increasing our blogging and everything just to keep you informed and so you'll be able to track. Are you okay, Dave?
I am here. I am great.
So you'll be able to track what the numbers are doing throughout the day and so forth. So it's interesting.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, Dave. I went to one website, and it shows markets. The Dow was down 718 points. But then I go to my normal website, and it shows that it's down 800 points.
I show 800.49.
Yeah, so isn't that interesting? The one that is showing that it's only down 718 is CNBC. So people who are going to that website...
Is that refreshed?
It refreshes throughout the day. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. They wouldn't do it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, 800.49.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I gave the listeners the right information. So again, this is the worst day of 2019, and again, the bond market is sending a recession warning. And you know, today briefly, Dave, I guess we're going to talk. I'll just go on with what you want to talk about here with gold. We had a great day, 1%. Silver rose over 1.5%. And, of course, all due to the Treasury yield curve and the bad economic data from the, which I mentioned in the beginning of the program. There's Eurozone, of course, stoked fears of an impending recession. And, of course, the analysts are saying nothing in the immediate future is working against gold. There may be bouts where gold retraces, but the trend is upward. The trend was always upward for a very long time. It's just whether they recognize it or not. The Eurozone's GDP barely grew in the second quarter of 2019 as economies across the bloc did lose steam. And, of course, Germany, they contracted. So,
yeah, now all this data, excuse me, came after, you know, China showed a slowdown in growth, particularly its industrial output in July, which rose at the lowest pace in more than 17 years. Output there expanded 4.8%, missing the 6% estimate for the second quarter. That's a significant miss. And you got to believe that a lot of that has to do with the impact on the trade war. Yet in a conciliatory move, or at least what's being perceived as conciliatory toward the U.S., People's Bank of China set the daily yuan reference rate stronger than expected, back closer to its 7 per U.S. dollar. Now, it's not looking good in Germany either. As you mentioned about the Eurozone, the economy there shrank last quarter, and that's putting pressure on the lame duck Angela Merkel to consider fiscal stimulus. As factories are being hit by the trade war and exports are slumping. GDP fell a tenth of a percent from the previous period, matching forecasts, and Merkel yesterday hinted that her reluctance to respond is softening. Whoa. In the wider euro area, second quarter growth was confirmed at a very modest 0.2%, Melody.
Wow. Wow. So they're all dropping, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we can blame the trade wars between China having an impact. But you know what? Maybe it's just bad economies. Maybe things just aren't as good as what they've been leading us to believe. And, of course, I can't even imagine what our GDP is going to be. I mean, we're certainly they're estimating it to be below 2. 1.8, I believe, was the last estimate that has been forecasted. So our you know what? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It seems like we talk a lot about bad news on this program, but I mean, that's why we have gold and silver. And so, yeah, it's just the reality of things. This is all monetary. Oh, how can I say it, Dave? This is it all comes back to our money. Gold is money.
Monetary dysfunction.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, with these renewed recession risks, these global stocks fell. You know, we had the undoing of gains from the previous session, was driven by Washington's decision to delay until December tariffs on some Chinese goods that were slated to begin next month. He's not going to do it in December either. It's just the same as Mexico. Well, we're going to put tariffs on you if you don't stop people from... He wasn't going to put tariffs on there. But look what it did to the market. Brought it back, but it didn't hold. So now you're going to have a lot of analysts come out and talk about how the geopolitics is remaining close to the front burner for gold, that is supporting the gold and silver. And, you know, the Hong Kong unrest. Lord knows what's going to happen if they bring military in there. It's just really interesting. But, you know, this is all in time for the Fed's annual conclave in Jackson Hole, Wyoming next week. And we already mentioned that they're going to be talking about monetary policy, the future of monetary policy. And, you know, everyone is still looking. There's a 70% chance of a 25 basis point rate cut by the Fed next month. I even saw that President Trump is still blaming the Fed for making this all come undone. It was part of it, but it was going to come undone anyway. And that's what happens when you don't have real fundamentals in an economy. You just have stimulus, debt, because nothing's real. It just boggles the mind, Dave, that they've been able to keep it going as far as they have. And who knows? We talked about, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about it next week, about the new tool that the Federal Reserve has to use in case of downturns. It's like, okay, so now they have another something they can pull out of a hat to see if it works, you know, just to stem the bleeding for a little bit. But the fundamentals aren't there. And that's all they've been doing since 2008. Heck, it's what they've been doing since they took us off the gold standard. It's just putting Band-Aids on each recession that we've had. They didn't pull us out of any of them. They just created debt and various financial instruments in order to bring us out of those recessions. It just boggles the mind how people can be so fooled. They dangled the carrot and we followed. I didn't, but we followed.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to follow in order to understand what they're doing. But anyway, the bond market yesterday flashed what could be the biggest warning yet of a coming recession. The spread between the 2-year Treasury yield and the 10-year flipped so that the 2-year was higher than the benchmark at the 10-year. And this is the first time since 2007. Other parts of the curve have already inverted, but traditionally the 2-year to 10-year spread is the most widely watched by market players. The 30-year Treasury fell to a record low this morning. Are they just going to pull the 30-year Treasury like they did before because it's so low?
Oh, they could.
Yeah.
They could. I you know, if they, you know, when they have their next auction or two, you know, if the demand is low, you know, and that'll... That's a very good question, and I think it's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. Well, it touched a 2.015 for the first time ever. dropping through its prior record of 2.08. Yields across Europe fell, and the German 10-year Bund touched a new low of negative 0.65%. I don't know if we have anything on today's Greenspan speak. Do we have any on that? What he's talking about, the, hitting?
No.
Yeah, he came out today, Dave. He said, there is no barrier to Treasury yields falling below zero. He was, he did an interview with Bloomberg. And yes, I don't know how old he is, 94, somewhere up in there in that range. But he said during a phone interview with Bloomberg today that, or yesterday, that zero has no real meaning for the U.S. bond market, and that a slide below that psychological level has already transversed by many other countries wouldn't be inconceivable for the U.S. paper. He's 90, he's 93.
That's pretty telling from an establishment fellow like Al.
And it seems like it's going to be happening quickly. It's not being long and dragged down. It's going to happen quickly. A global economic advisor back on August 6th for PIMCO said that escalating trade tensions between the U.S. and China would spark the U.S. Treasury slipping to rates that are less than zero.
Yeah, if it's not... if this trade war isn't resolved, then I think it's almost certain not to be, certainly until next year. Whether it's after the election, we'll see. But we could see rates down close to zero by the end of this year.
I'm thinking next month. Next month or the next, but. So again, it's amazing what these treasuries are, what these numbers are doing, Dave. And again, these are signs. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen.
Next month's Fed meeting, or Open Market Committee meeting, is going to be very interesting. There's growing pressure for the Fed, not just to ease 25 or even 50 basis points, but 100. To 150, taking it down close to a 0.5% or lower even by the end of September. Now, I don't think that'll happen, but if depending on what happens in the stock market and we see how the Fed has reacted to it in the last few months, we could very well be there. I mean, as you think, you see zero rates, possibly as early as next month. But we do say in the shorter end of the curve, the yield curve, that the 2-year hasn't been declining as quickly, but that's because that reflects generally the Fed funds rate, which is still above 2%, 2.25%. But again, the Fed takes that down significantly, and that could be very well be the driver. The National Alliance's Andrew Brenner said the bond market is screaming recession. He says, just take a look at what the U.S. market is doing. Well, we are, and we're telling you about it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the UK, the yield curve, which there's the spread between their 2-year and 10-year gilt, also inverted. But Brenner, said the British bond market also, is reflecting concerns about a no-deal Brexit at the end of October. Now, strategists say in order to signal recession, the yield curve just can't flip in and out of inversion, which kind of did today in the 2 and 10 year, and that it needs to stay there for some time to be meaningful. Well, as Melody indicated, other parts of the curve have been inverted for several months. In fact, it might be close to a year. In fact, it might be over a year now that I'm thinking about it.
I think it was, yeah.
And that signal is being viewed by many economists, at least more and more, as fairly strong. So, the time for a recession, I'm not saying it is imminent. I'm just not sure how to define that at this point, if that means by the end of next quarter or the end of the year. But there's little doubt in my mind, Melody, that it's coming. Anyway, The Fed's getting the blame.
Okay, you there? Yes, I am. But you know what? You're going to hear about recessions are going to, you know, degrees of recessions. We've had some bad ones and some not so bad. However, they continue to get worse. Yeah, we've had some in the 90s that weren't too bad. We've had some big market crashes. Yes, the markets came back. More debt was created. Made you believe that we were came out of these recessions. This time is different, ladies and gentlemen. This time is different, I believe. And the reason I believe, Dave, that it is different is because it is all happening at once. Surely we've had contagions before, but not to the degree of the world. And I think that's important. I think it's significant. And I think it tells you that the recession is not going to be as any other recession that we've ever had. And, you know, all they're going to do, we're going into, and again, we're heading into election year. So what can they do? Can they, are they doing this so it happens sooner than later so they can focus on the election next year? Or are they going to be able to pull something out? And like you said, Dave, is this possible in order to get China to make an agreement with the U.S.? So the trade talks, is that the band-aid they have to get us through the election?
Well, I'm not an economist, a trained economist, but based on my years of you know, working in and following these machinations, I think a recession is a fait accompli. I believe it's a done deal. Yes. It's just a matter, as you suggested, of how large it's going to be, how impactful it's going to be. And, you know, we don't know, but I'll tell you, gosh, the signs, the almost countless signs of a very impactful recession are, you know, they're flashing. And God, you've got to be prepared. To not do so is just so imprudent. It's putting your and your family's financial well-being at risk by doing nothing.
And I think what makes it so severe this time is what power do they have?
Well, that's exactly right.
There is nothing. Very little. They might have something, but it isn't going to be enough. They've used it all.
Well, that's the problem. And if, you know, if the Fed takes interest rates down to even 1%,
that's all they can do.
You know, I mean, more than 20 central banks around the world have been cutting rates close to or below zero.
And how's that helping them?
We had $14 trillion in negative yielding debt.
Yeah,
it ain't going to be no more room.
There's, what we do have room for is a couple commercials. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, we have all kinds of specials going on. And again, as I mentioned, it's hard to do a lot of, I've done price checking on online sellers of gold and silver. And I mean, we're still right in there and they don't do what we do. And I'm proud of what we do. We work hard at what we do. And so even if you pay a couple cents per ounce on Silver Eagles or something like that, you're talking just minimal. And it goes back into educating. And that's what it's all about, educating the truth. And that's what we do here. So we appreciate you supporting us. Give us a call. You know, do some comparison shopping. 800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Yeah, I don't know if this is important, Dave, but I just saw this headline saying Russia flies nuke bombers near Alaska. I don't know how important it is, but it's interesting.
Well, I wouldn't call it unimportant.
Kind of interesting. And that's when things are so chaotic, ladies and gentlemen, when you feel this chaos in the markets and, you know, what's happening in Hong Kong and so forth. That's when countries do things, you know, they test. And it could take one of these tests and just, it's not good. Oil prices today sank 3% after, of course, all this disappointing economic data from all around the world. Brent crude dropped 3.2%. Erasing yesterday's sharp gains again after the U.S. moved to delay tariffs on some Chinese products, but it didn't hold through today. The global benchmark rose close to 5% yesterday, its biggest daily percentage gain since December. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures shed 3.5% to 55.11 a barrel. And the data out of China, the potential recession brewing in China, all of it is playing into the global oil demand worries. And, you know, so far we're just talking about the U.S. trade war with China, but wait until our data about our economy gets added into that equation, Dave.
Well, today we're back in the fear mode, Melody. A second week of unexpected buildups in U.S. crude inventories added to the pressure on oil markets. U.S. crude stocks grew by 1.6 million barrels last week compared with analyst expectations for a decrease of 2.8 million barrels. That's a difference of 4.4 million. That's a big miss. But this comes as refineries cut their output. That's according to the Energy Information Administration, the EIA. Now, at 440 plus million barrels, inventories are about 3% above their five-year average for this time of year, the EIA said in its weekly report. Gasoline stocks fell by 1.4 million barrels. Expectations were an increase of 25,000 barrels, demand jumping to a record nearly 10 million barrels per day. Anyway, yeah, that's an extremely volatile and even more sensitive area of the economy that we have to keep a close eye on, particularly with these machinations on foreign currencies, and you know, the U.S. oil dollar. So we'll be reporting back to you as these numbers warrant, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, we talked yesterday a little bit about the Hong Kong, what's going on there, Dave. And it seems like things at the airport turned to normal after another night of chaos. And the protesters had beat and detained two suspected infiltrators. The airport got an interim injunction barring further protests. China's local liaison office blasted the violence as akin to terrorism. Yeah, I think if you saw pictures of China's military being built up, that'd give you a little reason to, maybe we'll, you know, calm down a little bit. But certainly the violence and the disarray at Hong Kong's airport has cast a fresh shadow over the territory's status as a global financial and business capital.
Yeah, you know, the buildup of Chinese troops near the border, that's not for tourism or sightseeing purposes, Melody. No. That's like, let's send the message. Now, I can't believe that Xi is anything close to being interested in another Tiananmen Square-like response. But I gotta believe that he's certainly, or his proxies are, you know, shouting in the ear of Hong Kong's leader to, you know, say, hey, the police have got to clean this up. Your police have got to clean this up because you don't want us to.
Yeah, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past him if he did do it. I mean, that's, I think that's, his position is pretty much, you know, written in stone with his government. So I think you're right, but it's, we'll see how long they remain quiet, these demonstrations. And it just surprises me, though. I mean, Hong Kong is it's to shut down airports. It's pretty crucial. I mean, it'd be like shutting down what?
LAX. Well, yeah, shutting down DC. I mean, Reagan Airport in DC or Dulles. You know, depending on the timing, that could keep Washington legislators out of town. Perhaps that wouldn't
that
be as
bad.
as bad as this, you know. But but you know, even the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong says how crucial the airport is for Hong Kong, and you know the business travelers to and from have been canceling en masse. Yeah. You know, and with trade and tourism being among, you know, the top three industries there, boy, that's not going to take too many days of closure to have a major impact there.
In some other news, briefly, we have U.S. import prices. They unexpectedly rose in July, but the underlying trend remained weak, pointing to a subdued imported inflation. Labor Department reported today that the import prices increased 0.2% last month as a rebound in the cost of oil products, petroleum products, offset declines in prices for the capital goods and motor vehicles. And data for June was revised down to show import prices dropping instead of falling 0.9% as previously reported. Yeah. It's just a bunch of lies about inflation. So, but we're here to report about their lies.
Yeah, we're just passing along this information. We're just don't shoot the messenger. and how about more retail closures? Geez, that's a just another never-ending woe of bad information coming out of that sector. What is it now? Plus-size women. Women's apparel retailer Avenue plans to close all of its stores in the coming weeks.
Yeah, the retailer said to be working with Hilco Global to conduct its going out of business sales, and this is all expected to wrap up in September. It's a little unclear whether the retailer's online store would continue to operate after the stores close. The employees were given the notice on Friday, so yes, they were, you know, surprised. They were told they would not receive severance. New York Post reported earlier in August that Avenue had 60 days to find a buyer or it would have to shut down. They have 260 stores. Lazy Boy has announced plans to move some of its operations from Newton. Where's Newton? Is that
Massachusetts?
Massachusetts,
I think.
To another plant it owns in Mexico.
Great.
So another plant bites the dust in the U.S. and is heading to Mexico. Employees reportedly were given a 60-day notice as required by law last Thursday, and all of these layoffs, as usual, will begin in October, right before the holidays. So there you have it. Before we do the Brevity is Golden, we're going to save a couple minutes for that. I just want to talk on about hospital costs. I mean, this is a good one to talk about. Wendy, again, inflation, ladies and gentlemen. Healthcare spending in America has reached a stunning $3.5 trillion in 2017, and that's really just the beginning. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that figure is projected to shoot up to $6 trillion. $6 trillion. These numbers, they're impossible. They're unreachable.
You'll have this with 320 million people living here, you know?
But we're a country in debt that can't be paying. These numbers are just unbelievable. And you will have whoever gets elected, they will take measures for these benefits. I mean, they have to do something, or they're just going to collapse on their own. But you know what? Maybe that's what they want anywhere. So anyway, so that really is incredible numbers. It just kind of brings everything into reality. Anything else there you want to talk about, Dave, before we head into the...
No, not really. That was the crux of that article, I believe.
Amazon says its facial recognition software can detect fear.
Yeah, this is a scary. This is a scary story.
It's a program called Recognition. Reco.
With a K.
Rec. It's just one of the cloud services that Amazon makes available for their developers. It can be used for facial analysis or sentiment analysis, which identifies different expressions and predicts emotions from images of people's faces. The service uses artificial intelligence to learn from the reams of data it processes. The giant tech revealed updates to the controversial tool Monday that include improving the accuracy and functionality of its face analysis features, such as identifying gender, emotions, and age range. Amazon also said it has improved accuracy for emotion detections for all 7 emotions: happy, sad, angry, surprised, disgusted, calm, and confused.
Yeah, that's very interesting stuff. You know, there's a recent study in California that released its findings from running photos of all 120 California state legislators against a database of 25,000 publicly available mugshots using common facial recognition software. This article didn't say if it was recognition or some other software. But listen to this. The software identified 26 legislators, that's more than 1 in 5, as criminals. Now, whatever else you want to say about that, that's certainly ironic, isn't it, Melody?
Well, I guess they still need improvement on that.
Yeah.
It's probably 4 out of 5, so.
Yeah, I know.
the truth of the matter.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with facial recognition that makes it a scary thing past the privacy issue is that similar types of facial movements can express more than one category of emotions. So researchers have warned it's not possible to confidently infer happiness, for example, from a smile, anger from a scowl, or sadness from a frown. So that's just one of the quirks in you know, these learned algorithms that are part of this this grand AI experiment. It looks like it's its momentum is continuing to move ahead. I just hope that there's some pause before there's really widespread implementation, and before much more of these bugs are worked out.
Well, if all of our computers and everything, phones have cameras, if you're going on Amazon and they can read your expression, they'll be able to bring up the items reflecting your mood.
How about
or
it?
Or your emotion.
And say that, you're on Amazon or you're in different places looking, or let's say you're on Amazon and you're looking at different, let's just say shirts, blouses, and you're looking at different brands and you're comparing prices. And that internal camera can show them while you're hovering over the JCPenney blouse that's just $19.99 as opposed to the Nordstrom blouse that might be $29.99, and you're frowning or emotionless. Fraught with all sorts of unintended consequences.
They will do nothing to get your money, ladies and gentlemen, so keep it. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We didn't get to Brevity is Golden, but we'll save that for Friday. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to worry.